We continue in the Rambam, Perek Hei Hilchos Toin V'Nitan Halacha Tes. We now are going to get into the discussion of the halachic implications of dealing with a Cheresh Shote V'Katan, which Cheresh is a, we'll call a deaf mute, a Shote, a person who's mentally incompetent, V'Katan, and a minor, and those three are not, they don't fall under the regular requirements of Torah law, generally speaking. So now, how do you deal with claims that they make and claims that we have upon them? So, starting with claims that they make. Tess, normally, if a person makes a claim on you and you're denying it somewhere or another, there may be a biblical or rabbinic oath that has to be made in denial. But, you're not required to make an oath, let's say, motive amiksas, as we'll see, on a claim of a cheresh shaitiv akotin. Whether it is a claim that he makes himself, for example, he says, he makes a claim, a 9-year-old says, you took $100 from me, you borrowed $100 from me, whatever. Oh, betanis aviv, or the claim for his father, you borrowed $100 from my father. Why? Because that part that he missed. So let's say the kid, the 9-year-old kid says, Mr. Schwartz, you owe me $100, I lent you $100. So Mr. Schwartz says, I'll tell the truth is, I borrowed 50 from you, but not 100. So normally, what would be required, you pay the half and make a shvuah, motive and mixas. Here, regarding the, now we've had this idea in the past, when a person has an extremely weak claim, and you're admitting to half, then there's really not motive and mixas, and you're denying the rest, it's not a question of motive and mixas, but rather, what do we call it? Meshiv aveda, you're returning a lost object. In other words, the claim would not be a sufficient claim to collect. And the guy's admitting, and therefore you wouldn't be able to collect otherwise, and it's like you're returning a lost object as well, as we gave examples of this last week. Same thing, a claim of a minor is not really a substantial claim. It's at best a doubtful claim because children don't have the cognitive understanding. You know, they imagine things and stuff like that. You can never be sure what a child says. So therefore, Eina Ella Kameshiv Aveda. If he admits that he owes him 50, that's like returning a lost object to him. Yeah, well, he admits it. So if he admits it, of course he pays the $50 because I didn't know anything more. So why? He doesn't make an oath because it's not coming off of a strong claim. When an adult says, you owe me $100, that's a strong claim. And now you admit half. The Torah says, well, you know, you're probably just trying to buy yourself time. So therefore, you got to make the oath on the other half. But with a child, it's best a doubtful claim. And therefore, it's like you're returning a lost object. Howard, this is the first of your two questions. Go ahead.
Some weeks back, we talked about the idea that if a child owes money, he's going to be required to pay, even if he was a cotton, and he borrowed $100,000.
Well, we're not talking about a child borrowing now. We're talking about a person getting for him. We're going to get back to that in a few halachas.
We're going to get enough to borrow and be responsible.
So let's wait till we get to the section in a few halachas that's going to deal with the child, and we'll see what the differences are. Okay. So anyway, he does a v'cheini mekafer bakol. What if an adult denies completely the claim of any of these three? Uba eid echad v'heid l'kot, and one witness substantiates the claim of the katan, which would normally require a biblical oath because of the eid echad. Still ain't a nishma, still doesn't swear. Why? Because shezeh eid echad, because it's really, he's only going against one thing, the one witness. V'ein sham tover, there's not a real claimant, shetfiyas katan ain't a tfiyas gemura. A claim of a child, of a katan, is not considered a sufficient claim, and it's considered like a doubtful claim. Same thing if one witness just says, you know, I saw you owe a guy money. And we go to the non-claimant. Guess it's your money. I don't know if he owes me money. But the way one witness says, I know he owes me money. The guy doesn't have to deny it. Doesn't have to swear to deny it. Because it works. There's got to be a vadai claim substantiated by one witness. And now there's a biblical obligation to deny it. But now the child is never considered a vadai claim. Ninsus Oimer comes out. Katan Sharma Lagodl. If a minor would say to an adult the following scenarios. Monali biyadcha, you owe me $100. O abohelo biyadcha, or $100 if my father's was by you. Valomer, and the defendant says, Ein lecha biyadi alechamishi, I only owe you 50. O ein lecha biyadi klim, or I don't owe you anything. And in that second case, ve'eid echad mirashesho, and one witness says he owes him. Still, Hareze Potter Mishvuas HaTorah. You are freed from any biblical oath. So that's two out of the three biblical oaths. What's the third biblical oath? What category, guys? Come on, we've got to start remembering things. What's the third type of biblical oath? What? Eid Echad, we said. Moda mixes Eid Echad and? What? Shomrim. Very good. Okay, good. I'm getting some nachas. So anyway, so let's go to the Shomrim now. The Shomrim is going to be different. When I give something to someone to watch for me, right? And now what's the oath? The oath, he says, well, it was an onyx. You know, a wild animal came and destroyed it, and it was an onyx. Now the Shomer has to make three oaths, right? Now, the claim of the owner, is it ever a vadai claim? The guy says, I gave you something to watch. Please give it back to me. That's all. And all I want is one thing. Give me back the thing I gave you. The guy says, well, I can't. It was an accident. Well, I don't. The owner does that. No, it wasn't an accident. I know it was. The Torah doesn't require that. The Torah requires you to give it back. That's all. And the whole claim of the owner is always a suffix. He doesn't know anything. But he doesn't need to know anything. He needs to know one thing. I gave it to you. And unless the guy's going to deny you didn't even give it to me. Whereas, but the biblical oath is when the shomer says, yeah, I borrowed it. But I don't have to pay for the following reason. So now, who knows if the following reason happened or not? Only the Shomer. So the Shomer is in the driver's seat, and he makes three oaths, and therefore he doesn't have to pay. So now, if the child gives you something to watch, and the child says, can you give me the thing back? And you don't deny that he gave it to you. You said, well, it was an accident. Here, you'd have to make the biblical oath, because that's nothing to do with the nature of the claim of the adult, of the lack of adulthood of the child, because even an adult wouldn't know for sure. So a kid isn't any better than that. In a normal claim, we say a kid imagines, he's not sure, you know, but when it's, if there's agreed that he lent it to you, then the entire onus is on the shomer to produce an oath. And therefore, that's what the Rambam says. Avalim shomar lakotan. If he was guarding something, watching them for a katan v'ton shoved, and now the guy claims it was lost. And let's say he's a shomer chinam, so he wouldn't have to pay. Hareza nishba shvuah shomer. He has to make the biblical oath of the guardians. Levishe nishba machmas taina. Because the oath made by a guardian is not because of a definite claim. It's never because of a definite claim. V'cheinim hoda shahoy. Okay, so that's that. So then he would have to make the biblical oath. So that's the only case where you make a biblical oath for a cotton. But there's a couple others, if you recall, rabbinic oaths that we said you make, also when it's not a vadai claim. For example, remember partners? And you say, you know, it looks a little funny to me that we haven't made so much profit, maybe you've been tapping the till, even though it's a suffix claim, but since it's something that can very often happen, the rabbis imposed an oath that would be akin to a biblical oath when you hold the Sefer Torah. So what if the kid would be a partner with you, and the kid says, I think you tapped the till? Okay, so again, you never have to have a vadai, a certain claim, so the kid didn't have to lose on that. Oh, apotropos or lover. Let's say there was somebody who was a guardian watching his stuff. That's also like a partner. So now the kid's making a claim against situations where there's a likelihood where a person could be taking. And therefore, the doubtful claim is accorded enough status in these particular situations to require a rabbinic oath. So what do? So yamidu bezen apotropos al katan. We establish an apotropos to handle for the katan. In other words, to represent the katan. But still, the yishava hashutav. Then the partner has to make the oath because we don't need a vadai claim. Ukiyotzmar, any of these betayna shema, anytime where the rabbi said a not for sure claim is good enough. We said also what the worker and the guy worked for wants his wages, same thing. Has to make an oath. Yes, sir.
We have many people who are deaf and mute who own businesses, have houses.
We're not talking about deaf and mute right now.
No, but the first one was talking about deaf and cherish.
Yeah.
So where
a deaf mute, priest of Helen Killen era was not mentally competent.
No, pre Helen Killen, she was blind also.
I'm just saying a deaf mute is not capable.
Currently, they have businesses, they're politicians, they're everything. They have houses.
How can he be a politician if he can't speak?
Very easily, I can send you the name of the people who are.
Okay, but I'm saying, without
they certainly own businesses, they're certainly lawyers.
Okay, without serious corrective measures. A deaf mute who was born 200 years ago, where there wasn't sophisticated education, just listen to everything before you comment. Because you're already commenting, that means you're not hearing what I'm saying. So when a deaf mute is born, the way they're born, unless there's extreme measures made to repair the damage of the deaf muteness, he will be rendered an incompetent. Because if you cannot hear and you cannot speak, you can't integrate information. Now, doesn't mean to say that now advanced technology and all these sophisticated do it, but the Torah can only obligate what you could do without any assistance. Just like so many halachas in the Torah, a person who is lame is not chayev aliyah l'regel. Aye, now we could have prosthetic devices. Shkoyach, we can't obligate him for this. So generally,
there's a whole yeshiva at Baptist in Lawrence.
I understand. First of all, it's only deaf and not deaf mutes.
I don't think they can speak.
But I think they do. But that's irregardless. But the point is, they're potter from mitzvahs.
No, that's a fact.
Therefore,
I'm saying if they get in dispute, what right do they have to argue their case?
Well, first of all, we didn't get the case where they're making. Well, if they're making a claim, what are we saying over here? Since we're not sure, then, you know, they usually aren't going to have a lot of money either. Or they're going to have an apotropus who's going to safeguard their money. And the apotropus, what do you need? Why do you think you have to have an apotropus? For people who can't take care of themselves. What would happen if someone is born to parents of deaf mute? The parents would be responsible and appoint an apotropos. The Bezdin would take care of them. The Bezdin would handle for them. You don't have to put them into that situation. I don't think a deaf mute in the time of Talmud who really didn't have mental competency could deal with it. So that's, you know, that's just the issue. The fact that medical and advanced things have changed it, you know, that's only for those who are fortunate to have it. And I'm sure many, even with all the intervention, maybe don't get anything better than that. And they'd lack a certain competency. The fact that there are exceptions doesn't change the rule. The rule is, when you're dealing with them, the general rule is they don't have the competency. And that's the way we have to treat it. Okay, yeah?
If the shomer never took it, what would happen?
That would be a kofar hakol. So we haven't gotten to kofar hakol yet. That's going to be the next. We didn't get to it yet. How about half after Marv? We'll get to it, and Ram will discuss it. We're going to get to it. Halacha Yud. Now, although we're not requiring these biblical testimonies, but hang on, the guy's not scot-free, so we're going to get to it. Hayru Rabbeisai, my Rebbe taught, and that's the Rimagash. She'ein nishbon al tainis kotin shvua shel Torah. We don't make an oath for a claim of a kotin, a biblical oath. Now, only those two out of the three. We do the guardian oath, but the other two, claim oaths. We don't make biblical claim oaths. Avol shvuas heses nishpoin, but they'll have to make a shvuas heses rabbinic oath. So that's the backup now for a katan. We're only talking about a katan now, so let's just stick with katan right now. We're not talking cheriv shvuas. We only made one line about them. We're going to come back to cheriv shvuas, and we're really not going to like it. But right now we're talking about a katan. So a katan, we now, no matter what, is going to be, you'll always have to make a rabbinic oath anyway. So it's not worse than any adult in that area.
Are we saying if he said he gave it to him?
If a minor says, I gave you $100, I lent you $100, the guy denies it, he still will have to make a rabbinic oath. Okay, there's still a shvuas heses. All right, shvuas heses is required. There's no biblical oath. Let's say it's a motiv amixas. Let's say the guy says, I only owe you $50. He'll have to make a rabbinic oath on the other half, motive on the party denies. Because it's Meshav Aved on one half,
right. And
a Kofar HaKol on the other half, right. And he makes a Shavuos Heses. If he had a one witness against, it would also be just a rabbinic oath.
So it would be the same thing with Shelley's question?
So let's read a little more. All right, now, here, we're going one more point here. V'afilu ha'yakotin she'eno chorif linyin masa maman. Let's say the child is not so astute when it comes to business. Still, Nishpoin Heses Al Tanasu. You'll have to make a rabbinic oath on a claim that he makes. Why? Shalo Yezen Noto Mamona Kishu Kutin V'Yachinu. Because you don't want a guy to take a kid's money and get off scot free.
Taking candy from a baby.
So the kid thinks, you know, adult says, oh, you're a businessman. Here, give me the $100 and I'll pay you back. Okay, so that's like business. So we have to make a rabbinic oath. Biblically, they're excluded, but rabbinically, we have to take care of them. That was a machloik, because I believe the Raiva disagrees with this. But anyway, lezeh daiti noted, and that's how my mind is leaning in that direction. V'tikun olamu, and that's a repair for the world. Nimtzos levi, comes out the following. Shakotan shetan al gadol, when a minor makes a claim against an adult. In all the following cases. Bein shahid of a mixus, doesn't matter if the adult is a mode of a mixus, where he's freed from the biblical oath. Bein shakover gol, bein shahid yasham aid, bein shahid yasham aid, doesn't matter if he denies at all. Doesn't matter if there's one witness supporting the cotton, or there's no witness supporting the cotton. Hareze nishba heses, he has to make a rabbinic oath. So the child is always protected, no worse than if an adult would have to make a biblical oath, still swearing God's name. The guy has to be a real rotten guy to do that. Yeah, and you could cheat out adults if you want to be a rotten guy. A rotten guy wants to lie, he'll always get away with things. So the child is protected to the extent that at least the guy's making a rabbinic oath, and when you swear that way, it isn't that good either if you're a liar. Okay?
No.
And more than that, and normally we said, Yeshua says, you can flip, right?
Not here.
But here, you can't flip it on the cotton.
Shein
mashbina skunkle, because a cotton can't make an oath at all. Mm. Now, more than that, even if the kid says, you know, you owe me, and the guy says, I don't, and you're going to have to make an oath, and again, the guy makes a ring oath, but he's not, generally to an adult, he can throw a cherem in.
Can't do
and
that
say,
here.
If you're going to make me swear for no good reason, I want a cherem you, but we don't invoke that on a child, so child benefits on that end. Even a general cherem, he can't accept. He doesn't understand what the punishment of shvuah is. The kid doesn't have the intelligence to realize the significance of forcing a shvuah that's not required, and therefore we don't give him a cherem. Okay, so now we've kind of helped out the cotton. The cotton can always have, the bezdin will demand for a cotton at least a shvuah
sesis. Sorry, is a cotton different from a deaf mute?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah. We're going to get there.
So they need to get there. I hear you.
Okay, good.
Could I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
The question is, therefore, if the cotton even doesn't have a witness that he said, you were my shomer of this object, and you said, no, I didn't even take this object from you, therefore, if he has a witness,
he has to make a shvuah heses.
That was my question.
Exactly.
So that's the answer.
That's what the Rambam says. Has to make a shvuah heses.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yud Aleph.
Now Yud Aleph. Now we're going to reverse it. Now an adult makes a claim on a child. Okay. Now there's going to be a general rule of thumb: does the child have a benefit from what's happened or not? And we'll see. That is the critical question. We'll see. Cotton shetano hagadol. Now we're reversing it. An adult makes a claim on a cotton. Let's say, for example, im ta'ano b'davar sheishu hanoi l'cotton. If he's making a claim that if it's true, the cotton had a hanoa from it. He had a benefit. Gon esek masu matan. Let's say it was a business deal. And more than that, v'hoida ha'cotton. And the cotton agrees. Okay? So now the cotton agrees, so clearly nifroid minachasov. You collect from him. Okay? That because, and the rabbis made this decree, because if you're not going to do this, then no one's going to do business with a kid.
Yeah.
And then, I'll tell you what, I'm going to withhold all questions so I finish the halakha.
No question.
I'm just because I appreciate everybody, but I have to get a cover a little ground today too. So if you want, after we finish, you can ask. But they did this at Takana, because if you're going to get stuck with a cotton, and we can never collect from a cotton, they'll do no business with a cotton, period, and then they're going to have much bigger problems. So we have to find some way for us to deal with them. But what if, and the kid admitted, right? V'hoida ha-cotton. The kid admits, right? V'im ein long, what if the kid doesn't have money to pay? Then yamtin, we wait, achil shom, until he has money to pay. Now, that's if he admits. Even kofar ha-cotton, what if the kid denies it? Okay, now we have to, on the one hand, consider, well, the kid denied it. Now, you can't leave a kid as an open target. Everyone can just go to a kid and say, you know, you owe me. Now, the kid, if he denies it, he cannot make a shvua. He's a cotton, to be a kofar ha-cotton. So what do we do here? So we are protecting the child to a certain degree. Mamtin, and we wait until he grows up. And then v'yishava heses. Then he makes the rabbinic oath. This is all where the katan did get a benefit, where you lent him money, you did business with him, you owe me money, and this and that. So since the child has had a benefit, well, then he has to be responsible for that benefit. So if he admits it, he's got to pay. You say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. No, no one's going to do business. If he admits it, we can't even collect the money, right? If he denies it, we're not going to take it away from him, but he's not off the hook from making an oath one day when he gets older. Now, but what if he makes a monetary claim with a child, even if the claim is true, the child did not get any benefits, such as the child damaged the adult. What if the child caused the damage to the adult? He punched the adult, and the adult had $100 of doctor bills, let's say. Okay, the halacha is, regardless of anything, a katan who damages property or hurts a person is potter. And I'm not going to go into the details. That's a different sugi of Gemara. And even when he's grown up, he doesn't have to pay, right? So therefore, if the issue has to do where he didn't get any benefit, where he's caused some kind of damage, even if he admits, he has money to pay. Potter, he doesn't have to pay, even after he grows up, because a katan is not responsible. That's what Gemara says. Anyone who deals with a katan and others, it's pigios and raw. It ain't a good thing to deal with them, because that's Gemara says, if a cher is shite of a katan, if you get in a fight with them, it's never going to be good for them. Because if you injure them, you'll have to pay. But if they injure you, they don't have to pay. Since they're not mentally competent, now you're going to say, well, what are you going to do with a kid who's going to do help? Well, we'll have other things to do. We'll try to. Well, no, they're not responsible. We would just have to, what do you call it? Hold him. What's the word?
Restrain?
Restrain him. You'd have to find ways to restrain him. That doesn't go around destroying society. But he's not. He doesn't have the competency to have to pay. So therefore, in these situations here, he never has to make an oath when it's a case where he's not benefiting from here. What if, this is an interesting scenario. Let's say the kid owns a business, and the adult works for him, and the adult claims from the kid, you owe me money, and the kid says, I'll owe you this, I owe you that. And what do we normally say when it's two adults? What do?
The worker gets it.
The worker makes an oath, and he collects. So what's going to happen over here? What if the claimant would normally be able to swear and collect? Kigon ha-socher, like a guy who works for him, ukiyoyes are similar to that. Sheyesh and al-kutin, the kutin gets benefit because the guy worked for him. Shistaker lo-socher, so here it is. Hareza nishvot, he can swear and take from the kutin. Because then there's no reason to be different, because that's what he's doing with an adult. And there's no reason why he worked for him. No, we're not talking about the kid. I'm not talking about that. Kid can't make an oath, right? Kid can't make an oath. Avol, now, here's the interesting case. If you remember the case we had long ago, Avol Chenvani Shenishbal Pinkaso, the innkeeper swears on the ledger. Remember we had a case where if A had a worker C, so he goes to innkeeper B and says, do me a favor. When C comes to you, pay him for me, and I'll pay you back later. So what happens? So A thought B paid C. Well, guess what? A week later, C goes and says, I never got paid. He says, what are you talking about? I told B to pay. Well, B never paid me.
That's Bava Metzia.
We go to B. B says, I paid him. So what's the halacha? The halacha is B swears that he paid C and he collects from A, and C swears he didn't get from B and he collects from A also. That is the halacha. We learned it already before. Mm-hmm. And if you're so foolish enough to make the guy do this without saying right or whatever, then those guys have rightful claims. You're going to have to pay him. Now, what if the child went to an innkeeper and told him that? Now, we've already made a rule. The only time we can make an oath is when there's some kind of oath, when there's a benefit to the child. There's no benefit to the child. There's no oaths over here. So let's look over here. So normally, if I'm a worker, I can swear and collect. But over here, Avol Chenvani Shnishbal Pinkaso, but when now, the child tells the innkeeper, pay my worker. And then both the innkeeper says, I paid the worker. And the worker said, I never got paid. Now what's going to happen? If they're going to make their oaths, what's going to happen? The kid is going to lose. He doesn't gain. So Eina Nishma Nol Mekotin, the innkeeper cannot swear to get from the kid, but the worker can say he didn't get paid, and indeed he can make that oath and get claimed. Hey, and why can't the innkeeper do it? Shein Lekotin Mezehanoi, because the kid gets no benefit from him making that oath. Sherei Chayav Linapov, he's got to give to the worker anyway. V'nishma Nol Mekotin, they're going to collect anyway, so there's no benefit to the child. The innkeeper, you should be smarter next time, buddy. You should come to the class. He's lost the money. He gave money as a cut and ask. You think a cut and says pay, you think it's going to happen? You know, it's, you know, you don't do that because you know the kid can't swear, and you know you can't swear against him when he's not benefiting, and therefore you lose out and tell the kids right on the field. Hey, questions?
If we do legitimately want to collect from the kid, I thought he can't do a Kenyan, the whole thing with the lulav and sukkot, that he can't actually transfer from his own domain.
What if you borrow money from him?
No, but... If he owns something, and we're saying that we actually have to relinquish him of something he owns. I just thought with the whole thing with the lulav.
Well, let's look what the other cases. Well, okay,
how can you borrow from a minor? Like,
he gives you the money.
No, but a minor can't.
He gave you the money. He lent you the money.
How can you do a transaction with a minor and borrow?
You know, the fact of the matter is, he lent them the money. No.
But I'm not even I'm saying
he has his money. He has his money.
Null and void transaction.
So people.
So give him back the money. Good. It's a null and void transaction. Give him back the money.
I'm not talking about borrowing.
So Shkaya, give him back the money.
A business deal, and we want to collect from him.
Who's collecting from who?
We want to collect from the miner.
Guy's working for him. He could work for him. He could pay him to work for him. Buy something for me. There's many cases, okay? Maybe not every single case. The cutting says, here's $100. Go buy something for me and give it to me. No Kenyan has to be made. There's a lot of cases of monetary issues. What are you talking about? The adult damaged me. He makes a claim, he denies it. Right, there's a lot of cases. All right, and finally, the halacha you're surely not going to like, in Yud Beis.
No.
Everything now has been a cotton. Now we're going to focus strictly on Cheresh Shota, which we really haven't talked about very much, except for that opening general line. He says, a Cheresh Shota, deaf, mute, and a mentally incompetent person, Ain Niskok in Lahan, the Bezdin doesn't deal with their issues, period. Lechol Taina, for any claims on any side. Lo Letanos Alchem, whether it's their claims against an adult, Velo Letanos Alchem Alem, and not other claims against them. Lo Leshuas Kala, not for a light type of Shua, Vein Sarach Loma, and all the more so we don't have to say Shua Chamura, a strict one, O Tashlumim, or payments, etc., etc. Even if they are doing business dealings, we don't deal with their claims at all. They're not competent to deal with the issues, and that's that we have nothing to do. We don't know what their denials are, and therefore, if somebody is of that such, it would be very behooving upon the community to appoint apotropism to deal with them. And since that's the halachic status, therefore we appoint apotropists to deal with them. That's a mentally incompetent person. That you'd understand. Mentally incompetent. We make a claim against... You can't make claims against an incompetent
person.
Why
are they worse because, than a child?
Because a child has a certain degree of wisdom, has some, at least at the level of a Shema, okay? And he will develop into an adult one day who will be a healthy working adult, and they have a much more competency than the others.
I appreciate the part that you wait till he grows up. And then
if he's 12 years old, he's not that far away from full competency, right? And it's definitely, he's got more competency than a mentally incompetent person. Okay, again, to be obliged in mitzvahs is a different category, but these children who have money and they're going to be part of society and they have a child has more competence than them, at least in terms of these claims vis-a-vis. But the other ones, they're much more severely handicapped, and therefore we can't deal with them, okay? And therefore, what we do is we have to appoint an apotropos. And yes, if the kid's a 3-year-old, I would imagine you'd make an apotropos also for that. Because I don't think he could do it. But if the kid's already 11 or 12 or something like that, then he may have to deal with it himself. So there's ways you can deal with him, and we have to follow these. But
you're saying that the minor had money, but I thought a minor doesn't have any assets.
He could have assets.
When was his father?
His father died. He has the assets.
Yeah. So is that a guardianship?
What if? Yeah, that's a good thing. What if you didn't make a guardian? He still will have the assets.
Didn't make a guardian?
Okay. What if they didn't?
If they did a guardian, the guardian passed away.
And guardian gave him some money. Guardian gave him some money. He gives him spending money. Yeah. He goes to the guardian. I want $50. Why? I want to buy candies. Okay. He has $50. Now he does a deal with this guy. He lends a guy $50.
Buy him beans.
It could happen. I would assume that in practice, we would have a guardian as much as possible. We have to know what's the halacha even without the guardian. What if a kid, well, any kid, you know, you give your, who's that little one's got kids under bar mitzvah?
Mimi.
Okay, you get. Give Mamie. Doesn't she own any money? Does she own any money?
Yeah.
She owns some money. No. What if she lends somebody some money? Perfect case.
We'll hear from Paul.
Like that. What if she? What if she tells somebody to watch something for her? Does she have any nice expensive things, some jewelry or something?
Yeah, yeah.
What if Mimi gives some jewelry to another person to watch?
I won't give my address.
Right. And what if the guy denies that he even took it? So then that's a classic case. However, now one last case. How about a blind person? Hasuma harehu kabori l'chol davar. A blind person is considered like a healthy person in every aspect regarding these issues of claims.
Yeah.
Because, but obviously, he couldn't be a witness. He couldn't be a judge because you have to have eyesight for those things. But binyanim elu, in these areas, he's like a healthy person. V'nishba kol min ishvus. He can make all kinds of oaths. V'nishbor not also. And we would have to make oaths to respond to his claims.
Wow.
Okay.